Tonight, as we come to the study of this portion of Scripture, I wanted to consider together with you the thought of making the best out of a bad situation. No doubt you have heard the expression in life, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. All of us face situations in life that can really cause us to have a sour taste in our mouths, so to speak. But the Bible, the Word of God, provides for us the sweetener that lessens the effect so that that which is sour can from that produce that which refreshes and quenches our thirst. Tonight I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 down through verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4. And then we're going to consider the thought of learning to make some lemonade. Let's consider God's word tonight. Follow along as I read, though. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eodorus and beseech Synthene that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at your last call, your last care of me hath flourished again. Wherein ye were not also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with mine affliction. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, and having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all of your need, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me, please, tonight? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening that we can come together. We can consider the truth that we find in your word. Father, we face times in our lives of bad situations, times which can cause us to become sour because of that which we face. But I thank you, Father, that in your word there is the sweetener that is provided to give us that which can become so refreshing and beneficial to our lives. So, Father, I pray tonight that you would help us to learn to make lemonade, to make a bad situation good for your honor and for your glory. We'll thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday evening, we took some time to consider some thoughts surrounding the theme of disappointments. The reality is that disappointments have a tendency within our lives to sour us, to leave within us that rotten taste within our mouth. Sometimes we allow that sourness to remain, But the Bible makes it very clear that even disappointments that are brought by God are done so for our good. God desires to help us in all things and to work all things together for our good. As we come to Philippians chapter 4 tonight, we find that Philippians chapter 4 helps us to take the lemons that sour and turn them into lemonade. It helps us in the midst of a difficult situations to make things more palatable and providing for us the sweetener that offsets that which is sour. How do we as Christians and how do we as a church respond to situations that are hard to comprehend, hard to digest? Well, Philippians 4 is going to give us six thoughts tonight that I want to consider with you very briefly. First, we come to verse 1 through 3, and I think we find this. In order to turn that which is sour, to take lemons and make them lemonade, the first ingredient for us is this. We must set aside self and seek unity. In verses 1 through 3, that is what Paul is encouraging, and that's what Paul is seeking to help us to comprehend. That in the midst of a difficult situation, in the midst of hardships and heartache, we have to be willing to set aside self and seek unity. Paul is addressing the need for unity within the church. Why? Well, he names for us two ladies. These two ladies had a falling out. Something had come up between them and had left each other with a sour taste in their mouth concerning the other. And Paul calls both of these ladies to set aside their petty difference and seek reconciliation, to walk in unity. He says there in verse 2 that he beseeches them to be of the same mind in the Lord. They were to set aside their point of view and seek instead the mind of God. When difficult situations arise, we must as a church do that which is right. We must be willing to set self aside. And folks, that's a hard thing to do. Our flesh easily gets involved. It leaves a bad taste in our mouth, and we want to respond to that. But Paul says we have to set aside self and seek now the mind of the Lord and to seek now unity. At times, the temptation can be to question decisions that are made, to seek to promote our own personal opinions on any matter. And folks, that's always the challenge. We want to promote our way. We want to make sure everyone understands our point of view. We want to make sure that it's very clear what we think. And Paul says we have to set aside self and we need to seek that which will unify. We're to walk in unity as a body. I want to remind you of this truth, folks. Unity is not the same as agreement. Unity is not the same as a unanimous decision made by a congregation. We are less tonight than we are at other times. But probably on any given issue that we would raise tonight, there would probably be different points of view, different opinions. Those could lead to us having a bad taste in our mouth towards someone else. Well, I can't believe Brother Burrell would ever think that. How dare Brother Tim Harper not agree with my opinion? Jim Brown, I don't know what he's thinking, but man, is he out to lunch. And we can begin to have a sour taste in our mouth because someone has a different point of view than we do. Folks, when it comes to the church, you know what God says? It's really not about your mind anyway, is it? Whose mind are we supposed to be seeking? The mind of the Lord. We set aside self and we seek after unity. That's the challenge for us. Earlier in the book of Philippians, he gave us a very good example of that kind of humility being in Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He set aside his own self, that you and I might benefit from it. That's the exact challenge that Paul would give to the church at Ephesus. In Ephesus chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3, Paul would write to them as he begins to unfold the practical outworking of the doctrine that he has laid. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul says, if we're going to make lemonade out of lemons, we need to set aside self and we need to seek unity. But then he comes to chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. He gives us another ingredient. We need to set aside sadness and we need to start showing gladness. Look what it says in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I like these verses. I'll be honest with you, for years I would read through the book of Philippians and never really understood what verse 5 was all about. Well, here's what Paul is saying to us. When a sour taste is in our mouth, we tend to have a sour countenance. We tend to show it. We tend to let everyone know just how bitter a taste we have in our mouths. He says, you know what your response ought to be? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. See, folks, joy is a choice, just like love is a choice. It's not my fault. It's a bad situation. I just can't be happy. You can rejoice in the Lord. Say, Pastor, how in the world can I rejoice in the Lord when things are going bad? Philippians 1:6 gives an answer. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. How about Romans 12:1-2? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our life is a sacrifice anyway, is it not? How can I rejoice in the Lord? Well, his mercies are new every morning. Because his compassion we fail not. Great is his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging. Folks, there's plenty of things to rejoice in the Lord in. My God shall supply all of your needs, as Paul is going to say. We rejoice in the Lord. I like verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That word, moderation, is a very interesting word. It speaks of a sweet disposition or a sweet reasonableness. Let your sweet disposition be known unto all men. It's a bad situation. Rejoice in the Lord and allow the sweetness of your own disposition that comes from rejoicing in him be known before men. Why? The Lord is at hand. Now, folks, how bad can this life really be? Jesus Christ is coming again. Is he not? Maybe today my Lord will come for me. We know not the hour of the Lord's return. It's going to happen in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The trumpet is going to sound, and those who know the Lord are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
filled with rejoicing in the Lord. If I can find nothing else, I'm getting out of here pretty soon, folks. An eternity in comparison to my little speck of time is insignificant. Because eternity is so vast. I wonder what it's going to be like, folks, in eternity. Say about 100 million years down the road. I wonder how significant our 70 or 80, 90, or 100 years is going to look. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. By the way, a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord. That 100 million years is going to go by quickly because we're not even going to think about time. Paul says we need to put away our sadness and we ought to show to others our gladness. That's the sweetener of life, to rejoice in the Lord. Look at verse 6 and 7. We're told, set aside anxiety and seek the Lord in prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Bad situations tend to cause us to be filled with anxiety, cause us to worry. Folks, worry and anxiety are never sweeteners. It's like pouring lemon juice into lemonade. It's just going to make it more bitter. It's not going to help. It's going to make it worse. They're going to sour the situation even more. So God says we have to set them aside. In fact, He commands us to. Literally, verse 6 is written in the form of a command. And the first part of verse 6 reads this way. Do not be anxious for anything. Not one thing. It's a command. It's an imperative. Don't you be anxious for nothing. The word nothing means not one thing. There is not one thing in this world you are allowed to worry about. Did you know that? God says there is never an excuse for anxiety and worry. You say, oh, Pastor, I'm telling you, this situation calls for anxiety. No, it doesn't. What's it call for? Say it. Prayer and supplications. With our thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. This week, I got an email that I was surprised to get, but thankful to get. It's been 4.5 years since we've come. About 3.5 years since we first tried to put in for our permanent residency and go through the process of immigration. Every time I've sent those applications in, they always come back to me. You forgot this, you forgot this, please fill this out, you are rejected, find another way, we don't want you, I don't know what the thing is, but they just keep sending them back every time I fill them out. I got an email this week. Your application has been completed and is now being processed by the visa office. Praise the Lord. Things are finally moving. They cashed the money order. First time they've ever done that. If they've taken the money, we must be in. That's a good thing. Now there's some more to do. There's some four tests and things that we're going to have to go through. That's okay. You know, we could worry, be filled with anxiety. I wonder if this will ever work. You know what? It really doesn't matter. God knows when we have need of those things. We lay it before the Lord. We leave it in His hands. He does it in His timing. Now, I'll be honest with you. I sent that off in the fall. It was sent back to me in January. What now? I sent it off in March, and in the beginning of June, they've already processed it. Now, nothing usually works that fast, ever. They usually hold it for a year before they reject it and send it back to me. Folks, we could be all filled with anxiety about those things. Or we can leave it to the Lord. You might have something very big or very important that's coming up, and things don't seem to be falling into place, and you can be filled with all kinds of anxiety. You can run around and try to get it all done in your own strength, or you could first come to the Lord in prayer. Now here's what God promises. You choose the latter, and He'll give you peace. He'll take a sour situation and He'll make it sweet. You do it in your strength and it's going to get more bitter as you go on. So how do we make a bad situation better? Set aside anxiety and seek the Lord in prayer. Folks, prayer is the sweetener for sour situations. Look at verse 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Here's the next ingredient. Set aside foolish thoughts and settle that you will do right. Set aside foolish thoughts and settle that you're just going to do right. See, when bad situations come and we begin to be filled with anxiety and worry, what we often then begin to do is allow our mind to run wild, to think on things that we don't have to think about. To be so encumbered with those thoughts. And Paul says we need to think right, because right thinking will lead to right actions. Now, there are a couple kind of people in this world. I happen to be the first kind. I'm a thinker. My wife says to me, "When do you ever shut that off?" Not often. Okay, my mind's always running. I'm always thinking about different things. And I just don't ever sit there. And, I rarely zone out. Even though sometimes folks think I am. I'm usually thinking about something else along the process. This is how my mind works. It's always kind of running. Other people, man, I don't ever think about anything. I kind of envy them sometimes. Because one of the dangers is overthinking some things. We can go through the scenarios in so many different ways and we can chew on things. But listen, God says, think right. Think upon that which is true. Think upon that which is lovely. Think upon that which is just. Think upon that which is pure. Think of that which is of good report. If there's virtue and praise, think on those things. Don't let your imagination run away from you. But I like what he says in verse 9. What you have both learned and received, you have heard and seen. What's the instruction? Do. We need to set aside our foolish thoughts and settle in our hearts, I'm just going to do right. Folks, you know why people tend to be bitter with other people? Because they just won't let it go. They continue to think about how that person has hurt them and all the evil that they have done and how they just want God to get even with them and on and on and on and on. And you know what they stop doing? They stop doing. They're sitting and they are focused on all the wrong things. And God says, just get up and do the right thing. Folks, we don't have to be worried about what everyone else does. Now, if we can make things right with folks, we need to make things right. But you know what? There are some people in this life who are going to refuse to make it right with you.
Move on. And do right. Don't just dwell upon that which is foolish. Settle that you will do right. Look at verse 10 through 13. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Here's the next ingredient. Seek to be content and be strengthened in the Lord. Seek to be content and to be strengthened in the Lord. Folks, contentment means that I'm okay with what God has brought my way. We should never long for what others have or wish that things were just always different. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Folks, what we often want to do is run away from a hardship, and God says, I want you to be patient, to bear under, because when patience has its perfect work, you will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's what James tells us. We'll be mature. God sometimes brings difficult situations in, and folks, sometimes God brings in that which is sour, that if we will allow Him to sweeten it by His Word, we will find ourselves to be more refreshed. I'm sure you've experienced it. You're hot, you're thirsty, there's nothing like a cold cup of water. And folks, sometimes there's nothing like a really cold glass of lemonade. It'll hit the spot. There's nothing wrong with that. But you had to have something sour with some sweetener added to enjoy and be satisfied. Folks, sometimes the greatest satisfactions in your life come through your greatest disappointments. And God is able to work all those things wonderfully for good. But we have to learn to be content. That it's okay what God has brought my way. Now, we may not have chosen it. We may not have wanted that. But God knows best. And we ought to be content. And as we're content, we realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, in the midst of a bad situation, God is able to help me. And God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul said, oh, most gladly, therefore, why I suffer in my infirmities, that the power of God might rest upon me. We ought to seek to be content and be strengthened in the Lord. Verse 14 down through verse 19, Paul writes, and he shares more with the people at Thessalonica. I want you to look just with me at verse 19, because it really sums it all up. But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul says, you have flourished toward me. You have given out of your necessity. I know that you supplied for me where no other church ever met my needs. And over and again, you gave to my needs. He says, I know this truth. God will meet yours. Folks, understand the church of Philippi was not a rich church. They didn't give out of their excess. They gave out of what they actually needed. That's different, folks. That's a little something that we know very little of. We give out of excess. How many of you have taken the last bit of food that you've had and given it to somebody else, not knowing where your next meal is coming from? That's what the Church of Philippi was doing. They were giving out of their very needs so that God's servants' needs would be met. Here's the challenge. Trust that God will supply your every need. How do we make a bad situation better? Trust that God meets our needs. And folks, He will. As difficult as it might seem, the Lord is still in control, and we're to trust Him. He is able to supply for us. Why? Simple answer, He's God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All the wealth is His. He has the right to direct it as He sees fit. By the way, folks, if God was able to literally cause the entire world to move so that Mary and Joseph would leave Nazareth and come to Bethlehem, that prophecy be fulfilled, can He not move a few dollars to your bank account or food to your home that your needs can be supplied? He made the whole world get up and travel to fulfill His prophecy. And they did. If God could take meal and oil from a widow woman and feed 3 people every day until it was satisfied, could He not supply your needs? Think about this. Not a larger family, family of 7. Bob knows this one. Okay? If God can supply for 7, can He not? If He could supply for 3 million plus in a desert. The people of Israel were 3 million plus strong. And He provided enough manna for them to eat every day until they were full and satisfied. How many quails, by the way, does it take to feed 3 million people? God could make all the quail of the earth fly right into the camp of Israel so they could eat quail. In the middle of a desert, by striking a rock, He can make that rock pour out a river of water that would satisfy the thirst of complaining people. Can He not supply our needs? We don't often like to think that way, but folks, that's the way we ought to think. Because we ought to trust the Lord that He is able to supply all of our needs. And that's what Paul says to the people here in Philippi. All of this is simply to say the simple truth, folks. When life throws you lemons, learn to make some lemonade. Come to the Word of God and find the sweetener to make that which is refreshing and satisfying and will quench your thirst and meet your needs. How do I do that? Well, again, let me remind you of the points. Number 1, set aside self and seek unity. Number 2, set aside sadness and begin to show gladness. Number 3, set aside anxiety and seek the Lord in prayer. Number 4, set aside your foolish thoughts and settle to do what is right. Next, seek to be content and find your strength in the Lord. And then trust that God will supply your every need. What a wonderful blessing it is that our God wants to meet our needs. Sometimes we find ourselves in just bad situations. Sometimes things just are hard. But when you're throwing the lemons, make some lemonade. Don't allow the sour taste to remain. Don't allow it to cause you to be bitter. But instead, be that which becomes a refreshing blessing to others around you. Let's pray together, please, as we close.